Welcome to Always Hold On to the MCU. I'm Zach.
I'm Lance.
And I'm Cavante.
And we're here to talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is episode zero. Not the usual format we're going to do, but the reason we are here is really just because of Spider-Man No Way Home. Let's
yeah,
be real.
Yeah, like yeah this. Basically. Yeah. Pretty much.
Wanted to start a new thing on the podcast. We've been talking about doing a podcast, the three of us, for a while. Mm-hmm. It was going to be Always Hold On to the Flash, the new Flash. Mm-hmm. After you guys finish, I'm pulling back the curtain now for the listeners. Yeah. For the Patreon listeners, you guys get the inside track, right? So we were like, oh, great. So when you guys finish Arrow, I'll be kind of wrapping up Smallville. And then we can talk about the Flash, right?
Smallville's going to end?
Sooner or later. But then there's the animated show to consider. Now, if that goes through, that's you know another 5 years of my life, I hope. Mm-hmm. But we're like, okay, we'll do The Flash. That'll be fun. I really like what you guys got going on Arrow. And like, I'll just be on that show with y'all, and it'll be fun.
The podcast where we are The Flash.
We are The Flash.
That was going to be the whole thing. Like it was, and I wish it could be called We Are The Flash.
I know, right?
But it would have to be Always Hold On To. But you know what? Two reasons. One, you know, we already have an Always Hold On The Flash. That's me and Matt going through the streets of Central City of 1990 and 1991.
It's
got a good thing going on there. Maybe, you know, we'll talk about some of that show as it relates to, you know, we'll talk about some of the Arrowverse Flash as it relates to that one as we go forward. You know, there's all kinds of characters and actors that appear. We can get our fix in that. We can work that out. But ultimately, that show, and I haven't watched it in several years, it's just not very good anymore. Based off what I've seen, basically, I mean, you guys are watching some of it. Lance is up to speed.
Yep.
No pun intended.
God bless him.
I saw that clip of them fighting lightsabers at the season 7 finale. And
jeez, man.
No, I'm still going to buy every season on Blu-ray, but as I do with all the Arrowverse, because, you know, that's what I'm going to do. Yep. But we're like, you know what? We can't do that show. We can't because, like, why are we going to spend so much time and effort? Because, believe it or not, folks, podcasting does take time and effort. I mean, we do it for friendship, right? Yeah. We do it for fandom, but it is work in its own way. So I love it when I tell Sarah, I'm like, I'm going to go to work. And I go sit down and get a podcast.
I've been present when he says that. The reaction's hilarious.
He's out there right now. And I got to go to work. So, because nobody else can. So that's done. All right. So we're not going to do Always Hold On to the Flash. Okay. Yeah. The Arrowverse Flash. But what we are going to do is Always Hold On to the MCU. Because why waste our time talking about something that's going to frustrate us? And we can talk about something that we can celebrate and have fun with and look forward to, right?
Yes.
Is the MCU perfect? No.
No.
But it delivers on a pretty regular basis. And just when I think I'm drifting away, they pull me back in. But Lance, let's start with you. Where are you with the MCU? Kind of like getting into it, your ebbs and flows over the years, where you are now and where it stands in your superhero fandom.
I'm a fan of it. And I think I bought into what they were doing after, when Avengers came out, because that was the culmination of that first phase, and I was just like, they actually did this, they actually pulled this off. This is and it was just an incredible feat. And so at that point, I think I was just in based on the work that they had put in and the you know, just how they've managed to do it, like the quality of how they of that first phase, everything just seemed to be running really well. And so at that point, the work they put in convinced me. It's like, look, I think they have the right plan in place. I think they are going in the right direction. And so I'm on board. I'm on board with what they're doing. And, you know, it's had its ebbs and flows. Phase two wasn't all that great. But then they rebounded very, very quickly. And then they landed the bird in Endgame. And at that point, I was just like, well, I'm down with whatever you throw. And then when I thought that they were going to be done, these shows came out and on Disney Plus. And I, at first, like when I saw the slate, I was like, I'm not really all that interested. Maybe I'll watch one or two. And then I got curious and I watched the first two episodes of WandaVision. And I was just like, oh, this is dope as hell. So and then like WandaVision delivered. And then I was like, all right, well, WandaVision delivered, so let me check out Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That delivered as well, and I was just like, is this what they're going to do? Are they going to continue to deliver? And apparently the answer to the question is yes. And so as long as they keep doing that, then I will be here for it.
And you were a fan of a lot of these characters, unlike me, who didn't know, you know, Iron Man from Spider-Man. Well, that's not entirely true, but like, you know, yeah. Well, yeah, that's, never really a comic book in my life, but you were a big Marvel fan as much as a DC fan almost.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. So like when they decided to do these characters on screen, like I remember like when we went to go see Iron Man, like I mean you remember this, like I was super excited about it. You were like, who the hell is Iron Man? And like I tried to tell you about like the old animated show. You were like, there was an animated show. I was like, yeah,
I know. You tried to show me some women roommates in college. This is pre Iron Man. And yeah. I was like, there were some Avengers animated movies.
Yeah, the old Hanna-Barbera ones.
Well,
right?
Okay, that's the different thing. I mean, there was a real like current animated movie, and Captain America. Oh, yeah. It started off with him dying, or Bucky ends up with Peggy or something. And I thought, yeah. Oh, I guess this is what happens. That was interesting. That was completely not uh-huh. what they do. But that was like early 2000s. Like, what are you doing? Marvel, DC owns animated yeah. stuff, and that, you know, they still kind of do.
Well, I mean, it's definitely true. but no, like a lot of these characters, like I had, you know, these are. You know, some characters that I've loved for a long time, but at the same time, I also realized that they were not their top tier characters at all. Like Marvel's top tier characters are not the ones that have made them billions of dollars since 2012.
Well, so, there is Spider-Man, but
Spider-Man aside, like, yeah. You know, people weren't caping for Cap, Iron Man, Thor, Ant-Man, the Wasp, like they weren't capping for any of these characters, right? And so, especially like on the Marvel side, those characters, as cool as they are now to the public, and as cool as they are to people who are in the know, like the average person didn't give a damn about any of them. Because as far as Marvel is concerned, like when people think about Marvel, they think of Spider-Man first, they think of Wolverine second, the rest of the X-Men, and then
the Hulk.
And then the Fantastic Four, and then yeah. you get to the characters who are in the Avengers. That's
the ironic thing was the Hulk is probably the most famous of the Marvel Studios yeah. characters, but before them, and now he never gets his own movies because Universal owns half of them, and they don't want yeah. to share the profits. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's the other thing. Like, as somebody who is a fan of these characters, like seeing them done well, seeing them, you know, seeing justice done to them for the most part, it's like it's rewarding to see.
Yeah. What about you, Kev? Where were you as far as Marvel characters go before the MCU started? How did you get into it? I don't think we've ever talked about this. Or Lance yeah. and I were there. We saw Iron Man together with a group of friends in 2008. We're like, it's not as good as The Dark Knight, but whatever.
Yep,
and here we are 20 years later, whatever year it is, on our 15, 12... summer 2008, what a nexus point for comic yeah. movies. But Kev, where were you?
It's summer 2008?
Yeah.
Getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan.
Yes.
Yeah, no, the summer 2008, I missed almost the entire first phase of the Marvel movies. I saw Avengers when it came out in theaters, but everything else I caught like retroactively. If you guys thought I didn't know much about DC, boy, where do you learn about Marvel? I saw the X-Men movies and I saw the Spider-Man movies. And I was like, okay, I did not know they were Marvel. I did not know they were connected. I didn't know. I was just like, okay, these are just different movies. I'm a huge fan of the MCU because I am a giant fan of long form storytelling. I think the three of us are. That's why we do yeah. podcasts about long form storytelling shows. Mm-hmm. But the ability to do what they've done in like just like the logistics of it, it makes the crossovers in the Arrowverse like it is just on a grander scale. You have made an entire universe that to this point now they trust their audience so much that they don't hold our hands to many things anymore. They expect us to watch everything, and I appreciate that. And no, I'm so, you know, learning about all these brand new characters. I knew nothing about any of these characters, and I'm learning that a lot of them are kind of, I guess you could say, MCU-ized, which is fine. But learning about all these new characters, getting invested in them, I have. As I'm getting older with this series, I'm finding myself getting emotional when they want me to, cheering when mm-hmm. they want me to, and being mad when they want me to. And like, if you can do that, then I'm hooked. So no, this the MCU is great. I hope it, as strange as it says, I hope it never ends. Like I know it has to, yeah. but I hope it never does, because if they can, especially with this most recent phase, if they can keep shelling out stuff this well, or doing it this well, then I can't wait to do this. I've been looking. You guys listening don't know. We have been geeked about this one, man.
Yeah.
I am excited because I haven't went back and watched all these things. So I'm just looking forward to going back and walking through all these things again. So, no, huge fan. I probably know more about the Marvel characters than I do DC now because of the MCU, because every comic that I've looked at outside of ones that Lance has shown me have been Marvel stuff because I like the characters better. I know it's sacrilege. I know it's sacrilege. And it's mostly because I am not the comic guy. I am just the media guy. So if you held up an average, I am the target demographic average fan. I'm the guy that sit down and says, would you like to watch the DCEU or the MCU? And I'm like, well, the MCU's been great. DCU's been kind of choppy, so I'll just stick with this. So but
that's
no.
That's a reasonable, you know, reaction to have.
yeah so no hate. I mean, I do a show about all the things that make Arrow, so no. Mm-hmm. Huge fan of MCU. I hope it never ends, so yeah,
cool. Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, I'm a DC guy first, but through Marvel, I guess, you know, X-Men, Spider-Man, right? I mean, those movies, yeah, that came out. Blade was rated R at the time, so I was a little too young for that. I've been but that's your three-headed monster that started resuscitated after DC killed comic book films in 1997. Yes. With Batman and Robin and Steel, as much as different affinities we have for those movies for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Blade.
Steel.
X-Men, Spider-Man, right? That's where we are, where we are today. And, you know, I saw those. I didn't even know Uncle Ben was going to die when I saw the first Spider-Man, right? So that's how... You know,
I didn't either, man. It's okay. I didn't either.
Oh, no, where? Thank you.
I am your partner in this one, okay?
That's right. Lance, who is this purple guy at the end of the image? So, I mean, how many?
Oh, man.
So that's going to be a fun. This is going to be fun. So I mean, we're not going to do this. This is kind of an introductory episode. We're going to talk to Spider-Man No Way Home because that kind of triggered us to do this. But
yeah.
One of the things we're going to talk about is, when did you first see these movies? Like, were you confused? That kind of, those are the fun things we can talk about going through these. How many post-credit scenes did I turn to Lance? Like, so who was that?
You know, yes.
But no, it's an ebb and flow for me as far as the MCU goes. Like, you know, when they first started in 08, it's like, oh, well, these are superhero movies, and being superhero fans, we have to go see them all. Yeah. Because we're used to a Batman movie coming out every 2 or 3 years, and that's it. That's all we have. Or maybe at that point, a Spider-Man movie, an X-Men movie, right? But 2008 was the launch, you know. And then through that phase one, you're like, oh, wow, man, the Avengers, like, this is the best movie ever, right? It was, they proved the concept, right? And then, you know, Age of Ultron, I wasn't like, I think I started to fade off around then or so. Thor the Dark World, those kinds. I'm like, what are these, right? So I think they kind of missed a step there, but it's okay. You're allowed to have some mulligans when you're doing such cranking out. See, when you crank out output all the time, it's like we talk about TV shows, right? Arrow, Smallville. Yeah. When you're cranking out 20 plus episodes a season, it's fine to have some misses, right? Or some off the marks, even, or maybe fail the cities. But, you know, when you have DC, when you come out with a movie every 3 years, they need to be good. And sometimes that became not the case. So, you know, I think, and it was Doctor Strange, I remember, kind of got me back on board for a while, Lance. Mm-hmm. I remember we saw it at the IPIC theater, ridiculously overpriced. There was this theater in Houston. It was just here for a few years. I think it closed. And they had, like, what's funny, I think about it now, right? It had reclining seats and all this stuff. And now, like, Lance and I, we saw No Way Home twice. And both times have been in AMCs with just reclining seats.
AMCs.
And then it's like these recliners. I'm like, what is? No wonder you guys are going out of business. Well, you don't need Lazy Boy recliners as all your chairs. But anyway, that's its own conversation. And then it just became, I got so, like, life got busy. I got so into podcasting about DC stuff. You know, the Marvel stuff wasn't as appealing to me as it might have been before, because we started doing, like, branching off to other, you know, characters that I wasn't as invested in, but you know, Infinity War, obviously, and Endgame came back for those. I missed a few movies here and there near in phase three and beginning of phase four here. But then after Endgame, you're like, okay, well, guys, just shut it down for a while. Like, you, how do you come back after that? Like, in a good way. It's like, you need to walk away. You pull Michael Jordan, you need to walk away while you're on top. Yeah. Don't come back and play for the Wizards for 2 years, right? But see, I know my sports. Do you think these guys can do sports? I know 90s NBA, okay? So there's one thing I know.
Zach was outside too, so he knows some of this stuff.
90s NBA.
Yeah. John Ostertag was my guy. So
whoa.
There we go. See? Anyway. Guys, like, what? Ew. So, yes, we're gonna have a flavor. Dead,
by the way,
we're gonna whatever. It doesn't matter. John Stockton. I'm sorry, I messed up my Utah Jazz.
Oh, man.
Karl Malone. Anyway, see, this podcast will be a mix of flavors between Always on Arrow and Always on the Smallville. So enjoy. Yeah. I hope you guys enjoy.
Hopefully, that's a mixed drink.
John
like.
Ostertag. That's weak, man. That's, I'm sorry. Double zero, though. I knew that.
Yeah.
So weird. So, has there ever been another double zero in the NBA?
Yeah, there's several.
That's weird. Why? It works like, on a football jersey, you know, because
like,
it's
like Jordan Clarkson was double zero recently, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Double zero. Double zero, yeah.
What was Craig Counsell? Was he number one? Is it baseball now? He was either number one or number zero. Uh-huh. That's so weird stuff.
Y'all talk baseball, guy. You might as well be talking about comic books, because I have no idea what you're talking about now. I'm lost now.
So my point is, it's like when you're at the top of the mountain there, just don't keep going. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I wasn't interested in some of these newer things they came out with. And even these Disney Plus shows, I was like, I have to watch all these shows. Like, Loki, we're going back to him again and all these things, right? But then you guys, you covered Hawkeye. I'm like, all right, they're talking about it, I'm going to watch it. And I'm so glad I did. Now I'm like, okay, if the other ones are like this, I have to go watch them all. So now, and so the 1-2 punch, and that brings us to why we're here today and for the foreseeable future. Always on MCU. Yeah. The 1-2 punch of Hawkeye and Spider-Man No Way Home, it's like, all right, I'm in. Like, make mine Marvel right now, right? So, what was that still their catchphrase? Or was that like a 90s thing? Mine Marvel.
That's been a while since they've used that.
But that's such a hashtag. You got to bring that back. So, anyway. So, the real ones know. So, here we are. So, it was, you know, Lance and I saw Spider-Man No Way Home, like, at midnight or whatever when it came out the night of. And then we went out after this diner and talked about it. And we're like, you know what we need to do? We need to do Always on MCU. That's what we decided to do it. And here we are.
And y'all have no idea, but miles away, I was in my bed and I smiled in my sleep when you guys said that out loud. You guys have no idea.
Because and I'm like, you know who we should bring in, Kev?
Yeah, no, because you guys went and saw it together, like friends, and went to a diner and talked about it. I saw it by myself in a theater with barely anybody in it.
Which is crazy, because that was our theater experience.
Both the times we saw it, almost totally full.
And no one was having a good time with it.
Like, sounds terrible.
Have
you guys seen the first five, six Spider-Man movies?
I've never, I remember when I went and saw Infinity War, I went opening night, packed house, at our big theater here in Nashville, cosplayers, the whole nine yards. People cheered and screamed. I'd never been to an experience like that in my life where people were cheering and being loud and screaming. And I had a blast. And so I was ready to do that again. Mm-hmm. And have you ever tried to be the only person like, clapping? Yeah. Like, it's so embarrassing. And
okay, I'm normally sitting next to the one person who's willing to do that.
So, me? Yeah.
Yes.
I tried to get some applause going. Okay. No, Lance really hates applauses at the end, but I think good crowd reactions can really improve your experience.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Crowd reactions are fine. I'm for singular events, right? But clapping at the end of the movie, I hate.
How is Tom Holland going to know if you like the movie or not unless you clap? I mean, come on.
that direct deposit will let him know how much we like the movie.
Yeah, the percentage of that box office they're raking in right now, I'm pretty sure he knows. Yeah.
I mean, we're coming in on, what, like $1.5 billion worldwide so far as of this recording?
$1.544 billion so far.
Crossed. Yeah. And then I think we're almost at $800 million domestically, too.
Yeah, so. Ridiculous.
With only a budget of $200 million, which is insane.
Yeah. I mean, give the people what they want. All right. I mean, it's that simple. There's all this, like, they spend so much time analyzing, like, why didn't they come see? Oh, I'm just, you know, look at that. Well, there will always be something going on in the world, right? It's like, well, it was a holiday weekend. Oh, well, there's COVID going on. Oh, well, you know, this was a sequel in between these things. There was another big movie that opened. Like, look, you make a good movie, people are going to go see it multiple times. Mm-hmm. The last movie I saw more than once in a theater was The Force Awakens. Okay.
Oh,
2015.
Man.
All right.
Me too, Zach. Me too.
I obviously did not see The Last Jedi more than once in the theater.
I did, neither Zach. Did I.
You were trying to make sense of it. I understand.
Three times I went. That's so many hours. That's a work day. I'm trying to understand The Last Jedi.
You didn't make that same mistake with Rise of Skywalker, I hope.
Oh, no. I saw it for free, and I asked for money back.
There it is. So as much as is going wrong over there on Star Wars, on the Lucasfilm front, the Marvel Studios front of Disney is doing pretty well, right? And you know, they drift a little bit. They they get back on a course, and then so that brings us to episode zero, Spider-Man No Way Home, right?
Yeah.
This is a triumph on every level. Every level, right? As someone who grew up with the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies were like the movie version of Smallville for me growing up. I'm like, oh man, Spider-Man, he's my guy. Like, if I were a superhero, it'd be Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, right? So that's my guy, right? Spider-Man 3, still arguably the most disappointing movie I've ever seen at the time. Because yeah. It's like, what happened here? There was no excuse for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was studio interference that did it, right? Sam Raimi was like, I want to do this. And like, no, you need to use Venom. And he's like, well, I don't want to use Venom. Like, no, you need to use Venom. He's like, okay, I guess. And then that's what we got.
And then yeah. what ended up happening? They ain't going to know what hit them.
Venom. Those movies, how would this make so much money? I don't understand that.
The Venom
but
movies?
But Sony, man, good for you.
I purely think Venom is that popular because it's Tom Hardy. And I think people just like Tom Hardy.
Those movies are horrible.
It's a mixture of that, and also Venom has been an incredibly popular character since the 90s. Like,
yeah.
That's just,
I mean, yeah,
much like
yeah.
Bane.
It is just what it is.
Venom really is the Bane of DC comics, you know. Because
yeah.
they both get this extreme super version that breaks your hero of the 90s, and now Tom Hardy's played them both. So.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, this movie was a triumph on every level, right? Now, people are going back and saying, you know, Spider-Man 3 and The Amazing Spider-Man 2 aren't so bad. No, those are still not good movies. Spider-Man 3 is better than Amazing Spider-Man 2, I think. But you can, tying it all together like this, like, it really works. And X-Men does the same thing. This is, to me, the best comparison I can make to this is Days of Future Past with X-Men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like, all right. We got a lot of mess we need to clean up, but we're going to try to do it in the story, and hopefully you guys will like who you see and all this, and they're going to put it all together, and you guys are going to like it. And this is even a step beyond that, I think,
yes.
As far as success goes and storytelling and all that. But, this is what can happen when you don't hit the reset button every 5 minutes, DC Comics. Now, ironically, that we're here because they rebooted Spider-Man twice in the span of... Spider-Man 3 came out in 2007, mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah.
The Amazing Spider-Man came out in 2012.
14.
Well, no, it's two did.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm talking about the first reboot. Amazing Spider-Man came out in 2012.
Yes. Right?
So that's 5 years. And then what year did Captain America Civil War come out?
Ooh, that's 15? A good question. I want to say 2015.
2015. So 3 years later.
Or 2016, apologies.
Okay. 4 years later, 2 years after The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, this is like turnaround reboot. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a third Spider-Man, okay? And it's like, guys, and that's what also kind of killed, like, come on, like, killed my interest in, like, you could have, we've talked about this in other places, but you could have either folded in Andrew Garfield, warts and all, or you could have folded in Tobey Maguire and explained that MCU, but then to restart it again, we'll get into that in about 7 years mm-hmm. when we get to Spider-Man Homecoming on this podcast. But that kind of killed my interest too, but then they sat down and they found a way to make this work, and a lot of this we kind of knew was coming, and it still worked. Yeah. And that's what's such a triumph. So, Lance, thoughts on Spider-Man Far From Home, or No Way, or Homecoming? What, the home, these
the home
titles
trilogy,
are all the same.
The home trilogy?
The home
Spider-Man
trilogy.
3-2. What are your thoughts?
All right, so a lot of people know that I was probably the biggest, like, downer on the Spider-Man in the MCU. Like, of the things the MCU have done, Spider-Man was not my favorite, especially like after Homecoming and after Homecoming, I was just like, I vehemently do not like this.
That's Miles Morales.
Yeah. Because that's what it was. And then, I was a little bit more, positive about Far From Home, cause it was something a little different, even though, as far like there was less Miles characterization in that, and it was just something completely different. But this, after seeing this movie, like as Zach said, like we knew a lot of the things that were happening in this, but like the way that they balanced it, the way that they actually made it work, the way that it was satisfying, the way it didn't detract from the story that they were trying to tell, the way that it was, in a lot of ways, very cathartic, you know, it just accomplished all these things. And at the same time, it fixed a lot of the issues that a lot of people who were not fans of the MCU Spider-Man, it fixed a lot of those issues that we had with the MCU Spider-Man in this movie. And what we end up with is like, yeah, this is, you know, this is it. Now, was that their intention all along when they had the, when they made the Holland trilogy? I doubt it. But I, it, a credit to them for seeing how something was not working, or seeing how there was like a perceived problem and an inherent problem in what they were doing. And then taking the time to correct it and make the choices to adapt it and do what was the right thing ultimately, is a good thing. And so I think that's, those are a lot of the reasons why the movie is being received so well. Because, I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm pretty sure you've seen it. Spider-Man Twitter is a scary place. and this movie came out, and like Spider-Man Twitter has not been the vicious place that it normally is since this movie's come out. Like it's like it's been more like actual discussion of from the parts that I've seen. There hasn't been like all these wars about things. It's just people sharing ideas.
People and, are like, using social media the way they're supposed to. They're using social media the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, basically, it's that. Wow. From my vantage point, from what I've
Spider-Man's
seen,
bringing people together, man.
Because before that, it was just like it was a war zone, right? Mm. But like this is something that like they, this movie, like the fact that it kind of, you know, united Spider-Man fandom, it like is a testament to how good it was.
Yeah, just to bounce off that real quick, and I think a big reason why that is the case, and a key, one of the many keys to this movie's success, is it didn't bring in Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and be like, look at these old losers, Spider-Man. Tom Holland is the one true Spider-Man, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, other franchises have done and will do with yeah. newer characters using franchise characters that you love your whole life. And then you find out, no, your heroes suck. Didn't you know? And I think that was, and they each have something to contribute, and they're mm-hmm. each their own. They're all recognizable. They have evolved past the point you saw them a little bit, but they're still like, that's that version. And that's a key to uniting the Spider-Man fandom, I think, definitely. Yeah. And now there's hope for potentially more. So yeah. It's effort to win across the board there. But Kevin, what are some of your thoughts on it, man?
Man, this movie. So, like I said before, F John Campia, because he spoiled a lot of things for me on Twitter. but it's my own fault.
He put his watermark on it.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
It's my own fault. I shouldn't have been on Twitter looking at it, but no, I am so blown away that they were able to do this so well, because they've done ensemble movies before multiple times in this universe, and they've all been pretty good. I don't think there's been a big ensemble movie that we haven't liked. But this one, they were able to bring three different franchises that, you know, into this and give them enough to do without overshadowing the main character. Like, it wasn't just small cameos. They were like really important in a story, and everyone came back, and you could tell they weren't just, I mean, I know I watched the like villains interview, and they had Alfred Molina white came, he's like, for the money, like, yeah. but they came back.
Was that a joke, or wasn't it? I don't know. I mean,
with him it probably wasn't, but he still came and brought it. Yep. Like, the thing is, all of them looked like they were happy to be doing it. Mm-hmm. And it translated, and like they all were recognizable as their characters. Like, they somehow got the feel and vibe of all these characters back. Now, Doc Ock was a little different, I thought. Like, the way he was just in the loft scene where he's just like, they're going to kill us all. Like, his little MCU quips, I guess, he kept having. Mm-hmm. But everyone felt like they were just pulled out of their movie and brought in there. Like, it actually was a universe-bending situation. And it just flowed. And it made sense. And seeing them together and them discussing their lives and, you know, like, it was literally... It was like a he-she moment, man. You know what I'm saying, Lance? Like, if we were all sitting around, like, how would we find a way to do this? We'd be like, well, what if Dr. Strange, like, literally, they just sat around a table, thought of something, said, we can do that. And they did it.
They're probably at lunch one day on campus.
Because clearly, this wasn't the third movie in their trilogy when they started Spider-Man. This was an adjustment. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you see those first two movies, like, I'm interested to watch the three movies in a trilogy, like back to back. It's going to be so weird, but it's still going to be like it made the whole trilogy better for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, and like, yeah, I got to see Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. You know, I didn't have a good time with the Andrew Garfield movies, but it made me care about his character. And it, like, I teared up when he caught MJ.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned this in our coverage. We, you know, we couldn't help but talk about it during Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see when MJ's falling, he does a completely different way of catching her because correct. He had been doing nothing but thinking about that moment.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's like, wow, like, this was a real character. His franchise wasn't just canceled. We just never saw what he did anymore. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Tobey Maguire and MJ, they worked it out. Spider-Man 4 never happened, but, like, we just didn't see it. You know, so, like, yeah. it made everything feel – it's just a really good feel-good moment.
And it's yeah. and it's kind of taking a step up, again, from, like, Days of Future Past even, where it's like yeah. Wolverine has his horrible life, and you go through his brain. He has him killing Jean Grey and all this stuff from X-Men The Last Stand, yeah. and – but it's like, you know what? Let's embrace that and find a way to use that.
Exactly. And to your point, Kevin, you're talking about like how you said how like, yeah, these are the same characters, but like, you know, we just haven't seen it. Well, it's the same thing. Like when characters come back in comics, you haven't seen them for a while, but you know them. Right. And like, yeah. and you're just reading the story and you catch up with them for a hot second. But you recognize that it's like, yeah, this is this person from over here. Right. This is how crossovers work. And I think, you know, to the MCU's credit, their movies work the exact same way. You know how it's essentially watching a comic book, the way that the characters interact, the way they can move around through different films, and everybody fits it's that, and it's that quality. I think that's something that people really, you know, gravitate towards.
Yeah. And the thing about these this movie in particular, but most of the MCU stuff is that it's they don't have a problem giving fans exactly what they want. Who mm-hmm. didn't know these characters were going to show up in the movie? Now, yeah, Matt Murdock, that was a good surprise. I did not expect to see that, but everyone yeah. knew once they saw the trailer and you saw Doc Ock and you saw Green Goblin, oh, we're going to get the other Spider-Man.
He's like, you're not Peter Parker. You think you're not going to see Toby at yeah. that point? Yeah.
Everyone knew it. And Marvel and poor, sweet, sweet Andrew Garfield had just been lying his ass off
yep.
in every interview. They had him in 4K. Bro, this is you on the set. He's like,
how did that get out? It's funny. The second time last night I saw it, like I acted like I was like taking a picture right when that was happening. He's like, uh-huh. Do you ever have web block? Like that's exactly what it is.
That's the scene, yeah. So like we all knew it was coming. And everyone had probably seen the pictures online. Yeah. And still when I saw it, I was genuinely like, this is awesome. I knew it was coming, but when I got it, I was still happy because they made it so worth it. Mm-hmm. And it like I don't know why, like, you know, we talk about huge franchises here. You know, I'm a giant Star Wars fan, and the most recent trilogy has really let me down. Yeah, like it really let me down. Yeah. Right? It let me down so much that when I saw a horrible CGI Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian, I teared up. Because I was like, that's Luke.
You're also not the only one.
That was the greatest Star Wars moment in a long time. I mean, there was the Darth Vader hallway and Luke Skywalker and Mandalorian. I'm like, all right. Well, and then, you know what? To another point, to speak to something else, like what happens here, like Luke Skywalker show up in Mandalorian, right? He fits into the story that was already going on, and it makes logical sense.
Yeah.
Right? Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, they fit into the story that was already going on, and due to the rules of what was happening in the story, it makes logical sense.
Yeah.
Right, so that is, like, fan service done well, because there is bad fan service. Like, The Rise of Skywalker is horrible fan service. It's like, you guys like the Emperor, right? You remember when Luke was training with that thing? Well, now Rey's training with this thing. You guys like Chewbacca? You remember he's supposed to get a medal? I'm like, are you serious? You know, and this movie doesn't do... It says... It found a way when they say the lines, like, the power of the sun, the palm of my hand, or it's like, you know, I'm something of a scientist myself. Like, you know what they're doing that, but it works.
The back joke. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, no, and that's what I was saying. Like take for example, because, you know, these are, you know, for Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, this is a pretty older franchise. Like we just said, Andrew Garfield just happened recently within the last decade. But, you know, them calling out those lines, that little nostalgia act they did, They found a way to make it seem organic and like it hit. Take, for example, we just saw The Matrix Resurrections, which I'm another big fan of The Matrix, and I didn't really care for that one because they kept trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they did it in a way like, hey, remember? Do you remember when we said this? It's like, no, it's like, no. Clearly, Norman Osborn used to tell people, I'm something of a scientist myself. It was just something he just said to people, and that's why he said it there. Mm. And Peter Parker was like, my back hurts, because his back hurts, and that's what he would say. He's older. You know, so, like, when they said the things, that was like, you know, and obviously when Doc Ock is saying that, he's like, oh, I'm actually seeing what I was trying to get done in my universe. So like it all made sense and it fit narratively why they would say those callbacks or the nostalgia acts. Nostalgia, as Lance just shared on Twitter, it's a powerful, powerful thing.
Potent.
And when done well, it's wonderful. And we're not talking about the greatest movie ever made, but man, this was some of the most fun I've ever had in a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that I seen it. I want to see it more times if I just had some darn friends in Nashville to go see it with.
Well, no, I mean, even Lance and I saw, when we saw it, I guess, what has it been out for 3 weeks when we saw it the second time?
Yes.
And it was still pretty full, and there wasn't the insane crowd reaction the first night. No. Right. But there was
nothing good crowd reaction.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, people like, when Andrew Garfield comes up, yeah. Right? And then I was like, oh man, it's Andrew Garfield, right? But it's not Toby. And then when he opens up the next one, I was like, Toby! And Toby comes out. I will say, like,
just some old man.
It's just some guy dressed like a cool youth bastard. That's the best line in the movie. I predicted this, and I was correct. Like, I was most excited to see Toby, but I was happiest for Andrew Garfield.
Oh yeah.
And that remains the case. And I think Andrew Garfield steals the movie. I think he has all the best lines. The frantic energy he had, like, he's so like, just the way that Tom Holland and Tom McGuire respond to him is like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's literally the middle child, which is why it's so funny. Like, he's Peter the middle child that, like, you know, as someone who has more than, you know, two kids, that middle child syndrome is a real thing with my kids, because they're like, oh, all the older kids get all the privileges and all the younger kids got all the attention. We're just kind of here. And it felt so natural for him.
He
to
apparently
act like that.
Ad-libbed that line where he's like, "Hey, wait, I love you guys," and they're both like, so good. "Thank you." It's just so perfect. And then, of course, he catches MJ. We all knew it.
Yeah, we knew
before this movie had come out. It was already decided that this would happen. And it was still extremely emotional. And he catches her, and everybody, he's crying, she's crying, we're crying, everybody's crying, right? It was just, almost the emotional, as you said, Lance, cathartic moment.
Exactly. And again, like, you can know the play is coming, but like, if it works and you score, then like, it works beautiful. And you score.
It's beautiful. Man, no, it was some of the most fun I've ever had was seeing this movie, and I am not, like, I know that, you know, when something's this great, for some reason, we have to start finding everything that's wrong with it. Sure, this movie has some things that aren't, you know, the conflict in itself.
Every movie does.
The whole, I jokingly said it, and I think one of our last Arrow podcasts, Doctor Strange, this whole thing shouldn't have happened if Doctor Strange just would have done the spell right. Yeah. But I'm glad he jacked it up. Or Peter would have shut up. But we had to have those things happen to have that. And we got it, and it was done well. And man, this could have been so bad.
It could have been
so bad.
I think we even said that. We're like, this is either going to be the worst thing ever or the greatest thing ever. And you know what? It was the greatest thing ever against all odds.
They nailed it. And it's a fantastic job. And like, you know, what's crazy. The director is John Watts. Mm-hmm. John Watts, the director, like, you know, he did this entire trilogy, which is he's the only director in the MCU that's actually did an entire trilogy. They always switched out directors throughout the series. But like, I think he's directing Fantastic Four now. And I'm like,
he is directing Fantastic Four.
I'm on board to see that now.
As somebody who is a huge Fantastic Four fan, like, this bodes extremely well.
But no, like, I'm really pumped to see him. Like, and I'm really pumped to see. And I'm and like, it. Here's the craziest thing about this movie, guys, is that, you know, it's not that I was like, you know, I wasn't as far as Lance was with, like, Spider-Man not being that interesting. I was just like, he's just kind of like, one, I know he's probably not long for this universe because I know the outside Sony stuff that's going on, right? I'm like, okay, so I can't really get attached to this character.
You didn't know how right you were, actually.
Yeah, you know, so I was like, I can't really get attached to this character as much as I really want to. And, you know, from my understanding of what I've seen of the Spider movies before, he's way too involved with Tony. He's way too ingrained in the MCU. What are they going to do to get him out of this? Because eventually he's got to go away unless they make more deals. Mm-hmm. But, dude, when he's swinging – probably past Hawkeye. When I left the theater, I was like, I want a whole new trilogy. I want a whole nother trilogy of that now. Well, I want to see more Spider-Man, which I'm excited about. Like, I'm excited to see Spider-Man movies. And like, it's not just because before with Spider-Man movies, and honestly, like with even the Ant-Man movies, I was like, I have to watch them because I'm watching the series. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of the movies in the MCU, I'm like, I gotta catch it because I need to be caught up.
Yeah.
But legit Spider-Man, I'm like, I want to see more Spider-Man now. Mm-hmm. And they got me. I mean, like, this Phase 4, dude. They pulled me back. I said at the end game, I was like, I'm done. And they got me back.
And that's the thing. Like, because after Endgame, they could have been done, right? But they chose not to. And so that's risk taken number one that they had. They decided to continue after Endgame, right? And then their course of action was, well, first of all, they didn't do anything for like a year. And then they have these shows come out. And we're like, shows? And then they turn out to be good. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay. And then they come out with movies, and then like they decide to do Black Widow all of a sudden and it's just like,
well, 10 years too late.
10 years too late. And yeah, it turns out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And then they do, and then right after that they do Shang-Chi, and then that turned out to be really good. And then Eternals comes out to not the same amount of fanfare, right? Like, so far that's been the one that has not come out with the same type of
have you guys seen it yet?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched it the other day.
Okay, it's a weird one to think about. It's going to be interesting when we get around to talking about it.
Yeah,
I guess every phase deserves its Thor: The Dark World, right? And so that's that one.
Well, I guess so. In the matter of speaking, yes. But that one obviously did not come out to the same appreciation or fervor that this one has. And this one was the one, as we said, like this was going to either be the worst thing ever or the best thing ever. If this was bad, this could have sunk the ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then, if it's bad, you're like, why do they bring back my favorite characters just to ruin them this way?
Exactly.
See other franchises.
Yeah. I was like, let's talk about that.
I mean, with Amazing Spider-Man 2, it's like, I mean, there's nowhere to go but up. Spider-Man 3, not good, but it's like, well, you know, it could have gotten worse. You know, maybe you don't know. You know, so they just, I mean, I wish all franchises took the care in it. This proves that it can be done. You know what I'm saying? Like when there's a big fandom movie that comes out, fandom, you guys, you know, franchise, whatever, like that you see and you're like, I don't know, I don't like as much. People are like, well, your expectations are too high, blah, 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 you know, blah. Nothing will please you fans. Actually, no, this proves that it can be done.
Yep.
This is almost universally praised. Is every single person who sees it going to love it? No. But I think most people can admit that like it's a good, well put together movie, entertaining, you know, the ultimate like feel good blockbuster experience. And you say feel good, I mean, there's some real tragedy in here too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, resetting Peter Parker to, you know, I guess we all wanted him to see. I guess Uncle Ben doesn't exist in this universe. I had to laugh at the graves.
He's at Monk's Diner right now as we speak.
George Costanza, yes.
Until otherwise.
Marissa Tomei, Jerry. Marissa Tomei.
Until otherwise proven wrong, in my head canon, Uncle Ben is George Costanza.
Yeah, no, this movie landed because there's stakes. I mean, the biggest knock on the MCU is that there's no stakes and everyone's going to end up, you know, winning at the end. Like, no, this is, you know, we joked about it, but like,
those are the stakes for every superhero movie. We already know they're going to win in the end.
Yeah. But like, it's funny that we're like, we're watching this like young man's like life being ruined. We're like, finally, yes.
Yes. He's as miserable as we all are.
Yes. I can finally relate to Peter Parker again.
Well, I was so convinced. I'm like, all right, Aunt May, they killed her. But of course, they're going to reset it because, you know, right. But they didn't do it. I was shocked. I was very impressed. It's like, and that's something little tease here. We're going to have a little tally board here in the MCU movies. One of those is going to be Resurrection Counts, or we'll find some fun names working on that. But that'll start in our first episode proper. But I mean, there were real stakes here, right? Yeah. And you felt the threat level, and you know, the stakes are, heroes are only good as their villains. I mean, we talked about Doc Ock a little bit. Green Goblin, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
What a Mount Rushmore of comic book villains, right? This guy.
Yeah.
He's just as good in this one as he was in Spider-Man 1.
I think he's better. I think he's better in this movie.
That's one of the reasons why this movie works as well as it does is because it ends up giving us Spider-Man versus his most iconic villain, which is the Green Goblin. That, like, that's the other thing. Like, you know, like you might not really notice until you think about it, but they ended up doing a Spider-Man versus Green Goblin story in all of this, because Peter in the MCU there is no Oscorp, right? There is no Harry, there is no Osborn, like, period. There is no Norman Osborn. Wow. But they managed to get his most iconic villain, and they get those two to have a showdown. And like, and I was like, it you know, it took me a few hours after seeing the movie. I was like, wait, they actually, like, it, on top of everything else that they delivered on, giving us Spider-Man versus Green Goblin, like, and on top of everything. So that's another reason why it works.
Yeah, the only thing that I was waiting for this movie to happen was in a post credit scene. I just knew we were going to see Andrew Garfield back in his universe, and he bumps into someone, and it's like his new MJ or something like that. Like
bumps into Shailene Woodley.
Shailene Woodley. No matter what that actress ever does in her career, I'm like, oh, that's Mary Jane.
Yeah.
From the deleted scenes, never released deleted scenes of the Amazing Spider-Man. I was just waiting.
When we see her like in the stands at the Super Bowl
at the Packers, cheering
on the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because she's married to Aaron Rodgers. For you people, like, what are you guys talking about? The actress, yeah. So.
But yeah, no.
I expected those post credit scenes too. No, I was. If there was one thing I would change, I would have liked to see the guys back in the universe. Not like everything, but like
yeah,
Toby going to see Kirsten Dunst, and you know, something like that.
Wasn't a huge fan of the Venom, and it's not just because of even Venom or like what they did with Venom. It's just this movie ended on such a sad stake, and then like you immediately go to like a joke. With like Venom, be like,
that's Sony promoting its Venom franchise.
And I was like, I don't care. And he's gone. And you own. So like now your Venom 2 trailer was just bait. Like literally,
I went to see Venom. to catch up for some context, to catch up for these, because I'd fallen off seeing some of these. So the week of when No Way Home came out, I think on the Tuesday, Lance and I saw Venom 2 or Venom mm-hmm. Let There Be Carnage.
such awful garbage, that movie.
And then, of course, you told us when you saw it, because, you know, like what it was. We're like, oh, we got to see. I want to see every Spider-Man movie leading up to this so I can be, you know, up to speed. And then I'm like, oh, he's going to be in No Way Home. That's cool. And then watching No Way Home, I had completely forgotten about him. Yeah. And then the post-credits, I'm like, oh, that's right. He was here. And I guess he knew Peter Parker because the symbiote through the multiverse or something. He even says that, like, the symbiote shares knowledge of the multiverse, which is some BS. Although, you know, they make it such
watching the TV though when he was at the end of Venom, remember?
But he already been transported there because of that knowledge. Yeah. So this whole movie is about villains who died fighting Spider-Man. You know who died fighting Spider-Man? Topher Grace's Venom, but whatever. It's fine. And then he leaves a drip of goo. I hope they just never pick that up. That's so dumb. I also, and then take my hat off the MCU I had gotten, right? So like I literally watched No Way Home. Or Far From Home. These titles are just similar.
Homecoming and Far From Home.
I watched it like the day of, like before I left to go see this at the theater, Lance and I saw No Way Home. I watched Far From Home like immediately before. And that's like literally waiting to the last possible minute to watch it. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. And it was interesting to just, because it picks up right where it left off. So it was it was very satisfying. I'm glad I didn't have to wait 2 years. I waited like, you know, an hour.
Yeah.
but I will say on that though, you guys were talking about the MCU Spider-Man. I like what they do with MJ and Aunt May in this movie, mm-hmm. like isolated. But if you like kind of like remember what happened in the other two movies, I'm like, just this epic love story between Peter and MJ does not track at all, but that's fine, I guess. Like, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
My favorite part was that I saw the movie before you guys did.
You did.
And as I was ending, I was watching the credits, I was on my phone texting you guys, and you guys were talking. You had just finished watching, I think, Far From Home. And you were like, I really like the relationship that Peter has with Ned. And I was like, okay. You're like, and I really don't like Spider-Man's costume. I was like, okay. Like, I couldn't say anything. But yeah, no, it was, and then I was like, oh man, he better show up in Hawkeye. And like, I get why he didn't, but you know, that would have been too much.
Too much.
That would have been giving us way too much.
They raised the bar so much, we come to expect stuff like that.
Yeah, we were like, oh, I'm definitely going to see Spider-Man kick Kingpin in the face on Wednesday. Like, we just knew it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, this, like, I don't know. I'm curious to, because they've done this now. Like, Marvel's like, okay, you know, we did Civil War and that blew up, and we did the Infinity Saga movies, you know, that blew up. We did this and that blew up. Like, how can we just like bring in, like, we got more characters, makes more money. I mean, Doctor Strange is in this movie. Does anybody even care? Like, I know we needed him, but like, for as big as a character as he's been in their universe, he's only had one movie.
Yeah.
And he's been throughout all these other ensemble movies, and he's an important aspect of it. Like, when I think of Infinity War outside of the snap, I think about him fighting Thanos on Titan.
Yeah.
Like, more than anything else. That's so true. you know, like he's a huge character. And like he was just like he was literally sidelined by Peter's genius by just sticking him in the mirror dimension for half the movie. Yeah.
When you hear like, oh, Doctor Strange is going to be in Spider-Man 3, I'm like, because Iron Man was in Spider-Man 1, mm-hmm. Nick Fury was in Spider-Man 2. Like, can this guy do something by himself? Now he's going to have to do everything
by himself.
So that's a good point about Doctor Strange. I mean, I'm excited for a sequel.
Yeah,
because I really like his first movie. I really like Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Right? Sam Raimi is directing it.
Multiverse of Madness is totally going to show up in this.
They have to. Man, they got to do something like that.
I mean, there have been reshoots for this. Reshoots has become such a four-letter word as far as movies goes, right? But it's like they did some. Every movie has reshoots, but I think they really did do some reshoots of like.
He said he was doing reshoots. He was on Kimmel. The cast was on Kimmel, and he was like, I couldn't do press because I was doing reshoots for Doctor Strange too.
Yeah, I met Hugh Jackman. I met Patrick Stewart. I mean, you know they're going to throw every possible, like, whoever would show up, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's do it. They've proven that they know what they're doing most of the time.
You are. And that's all you can ask. Says you are.
Yeah. And the MCU is like, how many movies are there?
There's 27, I think, so far.
I'm not even looking at a list. This is off the top. So let's just say there's 27 movies. I'd say the MCU is 20 and 7. Okay, you know, like,
yeah.
And the DCEU is like 4 and 8. Okay, like there that's these the records we're dealing with. Is that 12? Is that the correct number for DCEU? I don't know. I think it's close to that. That's embarrassing. You know, I talked about Nexus points, right? We're gonna talk about Nexus points for the MCU and the because that's a low-key term, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
no, I
didn't. 2008 was obviously the first one. Yeah, it's like DC, Top of the World, Dark Knight. What do you got, Marvel? What do you got, The Incredible Hulk? And, you know, Iron Man, who cares? And, you know, look where we are now. 2011, the other huge nexus point, I think, because we had X-Men First Class, right, which was great.
Oh, I love that one.
We had Thor, which we were like, what is this nonsense? I guess we'll go see it. Loved it. It was so good.
I literally, anytime Jess gives me something, I say, this is good. And I pretend to throw it down and yell, another. And she just looks at me like I'm an idiot that I am. And she just mocks away.
I love the Thor trailers too. Like, it was like, if it's like this Thursday, and it's like a clip of Thor. He's like, you'll see soon enough. It was just like, it was so well done. I still remember that. So Thor's good. And then Captain America blew me away. I knew nothing about Captain America. I saw that. I'm like, he's my favorite Marvel hero now. And I got the Ed Brubaker run, and I've actually, you know, I don't own a lot of non-DC comics. I own a lot of Captain America stuff because of that movie. It made me an automatic fan. And so that's what you got going on the Marvel side, and then especially the Marvel Studios side.
Yep.
And what do we have from our friends at DC Comics? Green Lantern.
Uh-huh.
Which is not as bad as its reputation, but it's not good either. Okay? Yeah, like it's not one of the
reputation, but it's also still bad.
Yeah. It's like people are like, it's one of the worst movies ever made. Let's not go that far. But it needed to be one thing. It was not that. And then DC was scrambling for a few more years, and here we are. So that was another huge nexus point. And I guess if you want to look at a third one, 2015, when Batman vs. Superman was supposed to come out, it was supposed to come out like the same weekend as Civil War. And they're like, oh, Ben Affleck hurt himself. I'm like, yeah, who knows what the real story is there, right? So they delayed it a year. And then it's like, well, you did Batman vs. Superman first and better, Marvel. Congratulations. And then, you know, and here we are today. So it's just been this... DC, man, you had like a 50-year head start. Tortoise and the Hare over here. Like, come on.
The better characters as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there about the better characters. No, it's crazy. I was looking this up. There's 27 films and 12 more in various stages of development. They have 27 films with a grand total of $25.344 billion in the box office. Yep. And like they were patient. And they worked its way up. And, you know, it's like, obviously this is getting into the weeds of like, as we get down, but you know, a lot of people talk about Age of Ultron being like the weaker one. And I watched it recently and I was talking to Les, like, I actually kind of enjoyed it because I saw WandaVision.
Yep.
And it made me want to watch that one again.
The shows have made Age of Ultron way better.
But I think I figured out why the Avengers Age of Ultron is not that great. And we'll get into this as we do the podcast. The Avengers was the culmination of all the, like, you saw all the movies and it made you want to see the Avengers. Mm-hmm. Age of Ultron was like, this is setting up the other movies. It was the reverse. Like,
it was a very transitional.
Yeah, it was the reverse. So like the Avengers was like, you saw all the movies to get to that and never like, watch this to get to the next ones. And they just didn't translate that well. But like the Disney Plus shows, which I can't wait to go back through again because I've only watched them all once. Mm-hmm. They enhance, like that's what I'm saying. They're doing so much of the small things right to enhance things for super nerds who watch all the stuff, all the Easter eggs that we're going to find throughout this rewatch, especially going back from the beginning and seeing like, oh, they kind of had this planned out, not like the Harbinger type stuff, but you know, like, you know, and the way they've adjusted and kept, you know, adjusted and added new characters and taken out characters. And they haven't even really even got their heavy hitters yet in this franchise. Like they're just now about to bring in the Fantastic Four and potential X-Men.
Yep.
And you're like, what?
Yep.
They've done this without their biggest. The Grizzlies have won 10 games without Ja Morant. What? Like, like they haven't even gotten started with what they can do.
That's the key to their success. I think that's a huge reason why they're so successful is they didn't just rely on, well, you guys know who Superman and Batman are, right? Here. Yeah. You know, they're like, well, we have to make people care about the Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange and Thor, right? So let's sit down and tell the best possible story we can. And take it from there, because you can't just rest on the fact that, oh yeah, people have been watching these characters on TV and movies for decades.
Yeah.
Like that's what DC does. You know, it's like, well, we've already done the Superman, you know, let's try something new and edgy. Yeah. Like, no, that's not what you do. Okay. Like Captain America in the MCU is the Superman that I want.
I get cheesecake every year for my birthday. It's never bad because I know what it is and I love it.
We know you want cheesecake, but you might not know that you want this instead.
Why don't you put a giant chili pepper in the middle of that cheesecake? Just to spice it up. No, I like cheesecake, man.
Exactly. So a more apt comparison, Kev, for like your basketball take there is like instead of just like, oh, they've won 10 games without Ja Morant, it's more like, wait, the Warriors are first place in the league without Klay Thompson?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the DCEU is like the 2004 Lakers over here. Yes, I'm like, you have Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, the mailman.
Look, that team is scratched from my memory, okay? I don't want to look at Karl Malone in a Lakers jersey any more than
but that's what it is. Like, how can we lose? We have all the best characters. How do we lose? And there's no concept of like, well, just go do your thing, people, you know? And then instead of like, all right, these guys, we got to coach these guys up. We got to do some gameplay. We got to study, you know, we got to, you know, it's just, you can't do it that way. And unfortunately, that's where we are. Now, you know, this is a DC network, if you will, if I may be so bold to call myself a network, right? Every other show we do.
Bro, you have a main show and several spinoffs. This is a network, man.
That's right. So, but you know, everything is DC related.
We'll start making some profits.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you guys this get my podcast, season 4 rewrite?
Like, this podcast is more profitable than the CW. Okay.
Damn, shots fired.
So, but no, so this will be, you know, the place where we are able to talk about Marvel stuff, right? And it's all, and really, like I said, like we're starting off with this kind of just open form discussion about, because Spider-Man is really what launches, like we got to find a way to talk about this and here we are. And just, you know, just a couple stray thoughts on Spider-Man real quick. And then we can, you know, kind of wrap up on the MCU overall. But like, I got like, they even found a way because people who didn't like The Amazing Spider-Man, they were like, well, we like Andrew Garfield. I'm like, okay, so he comes back and he's fantastic, right? But they're like, well, you know, we didn't like Electro at all. He was terrible, right? Yeah. And they bring in Jamie Foxx and he's great.
Yeah.
Because Jamie Foxx is a great actor. He's a hilarious guy. Like, he's
an Academy Award winner. It's not like he doesn't have chops.
Yeah, he was having a blast.
And this shows you how bad writing can just ruin everything. Like, bad writing, bad presentation. Like, I don't know what they were doing over there on The Amazing Spider-Man 2. But Jamie Foxx was so he was funny in this. He wasn't like over the top funny, like slapstick and all the nonsense they tried to do with him. Amazing Spider-Man 2, like, no, let him just do what he does.
Yeah, right? like a perfect example is just like, hey, can I ask you a question real quick? Yeah, sure, anything. Are those your Legos? That was funny.
Yeah, clearly it's something he just made up. Like, or he's like, I fell into a pit. He's like, I fell into like a thing. He's like, you gotta watch where you fall. Like,
be careful where you fall. That's a top five line of this movie. It was
the best line ever is, are you guys gonna pretend here and stand there like I ain't butt ass naked? It's like,
Or it's like, I might fall. You're here. He's like, in another universe or the woods.
He hit it with the southern though. He didn't say. He said naked.
Yep.
But he's
from Texas, man.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
All of that didn't like take you out of it, right? It wasn't like a Richard Pryor Superman 3 situation, right? It was just like it fit, you know. And but I must say, like, the lizard is a non-factor. He's just kind of there. At least they got him, right? There he is, right? Sandman was the weirdest.
Hey, I think. Peter Parker, it's me. Don't you remember?
It's me from Spider-Man 3. So he might as well have said that. What's going on, Peter Parker? It's just, that was the most awkwardly shoehorned in.
Yeah.
And then just to make him sand the whole time was another odd choice. I guess to hide the fact how much he was in the movie.
Same thing.
Yeah. I assume
same thing with the lizard.
Same thing with lizard. Like, yeah.
The same thing with him.
Those are just repurposed shots at the end too. Anyway, right?
Of the humans. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess like maybe they age. Like fine. You know, I think that's clever use of stock footage. But and then you have your Sinister Five basically, and then you know they got their. They've been wanting to make the Sinister Six movie forever, and they found a way. And the only thing, and do you guys ever watch Nando versus Movies?
Nando
on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah, none of you movies. He did a video.
The Cosmonaut Variety Hour, Captain Midnight, all these dudes.
We watch all the same YouTube channels.
we are all about the comic book YouTube channels and stuff.
Owen likes comics, Matt Draper, who else?
Full Fat Videos.
Full Fat, High Top Films.
I was so so excited, like after this, I can't wait to see what all these guys say about this, right? Yeah. But NanoView Movies, he came up, and I believe it's him because we watched so many of these. Filmento is another one. I believe it was NanoView Movies. He came up with like the one missing scene that could have like improved the villain's plot of this. It's like there should have been a scene, because Sandman's plot makes no sense. He's like, I just want to go home. I don't care. Right? Like, what is his objective at the end? So he's like, yeah, there should have been a scene where like he's in an alley somewhere, and then he gets like Green Goblin comes up to him. He's like, hey, you're gonna help me? He's like, I'm not gonna help you. He's like, yeah. Well, when I kill him and I go home, I'm going to go kill your family, right? And he's like, well, you're going to lose. He's like, are you going to take that chance? And then he's like, oh, okay, what do you want, right? So it shows the Green Goblin, like, and then like all the villains like circle him, like they're united in a way. And then when they fight the Spider-Man at the end, that's why they have to like, we're not a team, right? We gotta coordinate, right? That would help to explain that and have more. But instead of just like they all randomly showed up separately, that was kind of odd. Right, so I think that's one thing you could tweak at the end, but that's another. Everything at the end with the Spider-Man is fantastic. Like we've been talking about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, but the fact that they were in the movie more than like the 5 minutes we thought, like they're legitimate supporting characters.
I legit thought that they were gonna leave after the pep talk.
Oh, right? You serious? Oh, that would have been so bad.
I know. I suspected Endgame style that like they show up at the very end out of a portal and they help fight and then they leave. Like I didn't even think they would have that much screen time.
Lance thought it was going to be Chrysler Infinite or Smallville or Brandon Ralph. Thank you for your appearance.
Yeah.
Talk him up and then leave somehow or get neutralized somehow. But like the fact that we saw them all suit up together, they had all their fun talk about the villains and the web shooters and all
the, they did the
this is the stuff
meme.
We talk about.
They did the pointing meme.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all pointed at each other. You're in the Avengers? What's that?
You're in a band?
Yeah, but then to see them like to see them all suit up and swing off together, like that was an amazing a Mount Rushmore cinema moment for me. Like
all,
to see
all
that.
Them and, doing their own distinct like yells as they do it too. You heard Toby's like
and
woo!
Flips
like, you know.
And swinging style. Yeah,
yeah, and they're landing and all that, and you know what? They had enough of the themes from the other Spider-Man, but they didn't like flat out just play the theme. And I thought like. I thought that would bother. I was like, where are their theme? I thought I would go into it. Like, I would feel cheated if I didn't hear those, but they weaved it in enough and it was subtle. And by the time they had won me over with Tom Holland, because this is his Spider-Man story.
Yeah. Yes.
So they found the secret recipe, right? The perfect balance of all this stuff. And it's like lightning in a bottle with this. Like, I don't know how they're going to replicate it, but Marvel keeps getting lightning in bottles. You know, every big crossover event, they, you know.
We'll find out in 2028 when we're covering phase 5 or something. We'll find out then.
Phase 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I guess any stray thoughts that you just wanted to mention here about specifically the Spider-Man here?
I got two.
Okay. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm happy with what they've given us and I'm looking forward to what's next. So,
favorite little nugget from the movie was when they're all sitting there talking about, you know, and this is just Andrew Garfield's middle child syndrome. They're talking about the villains they fought and everything. And he talks about how lame he is. And then Toby says, no, wait, you know what? I don't know if you know. You're amazing. Like, basically saying, you are the amazing Spider-Man franchise. Yes. Like, that actually got some people in the crowd, that boring crowd I was with, to actually kind of clap and cheer. Because, like, yeah, like, dude, give yourself a little bit more props, okay? You were a better Spider-Man in crappy movies. But another thing that I need to – that really got me was the freaking coffee cup. So in Hawkeye and in Spider-Man, there was the same coffee cup. From the same coffee, and you're like, oh, they're connected. And then somebody who happens to live in New York City was like, yeah, that's common around the city, man. That's just that's not connected to the MCU.
That's like a Starbucks stuff.
That's just like a Starbucks thing. Oh. And I was like, I feel dumb. But basically echoing what you guys are saying, it was everything I expected it. I walked out not feeling like they didn't do everything they could do with what they had to work with. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to whatever. Like, I'm gonna be I almost changed the podcast, man. I was on Arrow. I became Marvel, Shield, Disney, adult. I would have put the ears on and everything, man. I would have started arguing for how Star Wars. You just don't get it, man. It's more, you know. I would have been that guy. But no, I'm excited. And if this movie got this podcast to be happening, then this is the best movie I've seen, because I'm so excited to do this with you guys.
Oh yeah, us too, man.
Yeah,
nailed it. Right, so we'll have some kind of ranking system and tally boards and all this as we go through the movies proper. So we're gonna start with MCU in release order.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And you're like, okay, everybody, what about Spider-Man and Hulk? Because that Hulk used to be my undercover, like, you know, that's the first movie of the MCU. Because The Incredible Hulk is a sequel to Hulk. Like, when it was in, like, being planned, it was like Hulk 2. And then it just kind of became a soft. It was kind of like Batman Forever did, you know. Mm-hmm. Batman Forever was a soft reboot before we knew what those were.
That's
by the way. So that was a sequel to that, because, you know, the Hulk ends like Eric Bana is in South America, and mm-hmm. whereas Edward Norton in South America.
Yep.
Anyway, we're gonna start with Iron Man. Mm-hmm. That's where it all started. We're gonna take it from there. We are gonna talk about Hulk when we talk about the Incredible Hulk, though, because those are just kind of talk about that. But no, we're not gonna talk about, because if we did, we'd be constantly being out of order if we had to be like. Well, now we have to talk about the Sam Raimi trilogy, because, you know, we're going to have to talk about X-Men soon, because I'm pretty sure those are going to cross over in the Multiverse of Madness. So we'll see. But we're going to talk about Iron Man. We're going to take it from there. We're going to talk about the TV shows, the Netflix shows, and the Disney Plus shows, and Agent Carter, because I like it a lot. We're not talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., okay? So save your emails. We're not going to talk about it, unless you want to, Kev. And you can do those by yourself.
I will
and submit them
by myself.
that's a whole nother thing, right? And I think they've been erased from continuity, right? I mean,
if they've had plenty of chances to say they were canon by this point, and they haven't. And I think
somebody would have found out Coulson was still alive
in Hawkeye. Kind of shut that down too.
Yeah.
So yeah,
but that was a second Hawkingbird.
or like, as I said,
the shipper name.
Yeah, I know, right? Or as I said on, you know, Always Hold On to Hawkeye, like maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. had a Mockingbird program similar to how Russia had the Black Widow program.
That would be cool, but I don't want to talk about seven seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we're just not going to leave that out.
Fitzsimmons?
Fitzsimmons. Which one is Fitz? Which one is Simmons? We may never know. So I did watch the first half of that first season, and then I was like, oh no, it got good after that. Too bad.
Yep.
Too bad. I gave you 11 episodes, I think. Bad. I gave you and Gotham the Krypton had its chance, is what I say. Okay. So I'm excited. I haven't ones that I've actually rewatched, the Captain America ones, because I love those. But it's a very Thor, you know, I mean, the first one. It's a very short list of these I've actually rewatched, a shorter one that I actually own. But thanks to friends with Disney Plus, you can use their accounts, because they allow multiple accounts, Kev.
Yeah, man. I will let anyone use my Disney Plus account. Just slide in my DMs.
This podcast brought to you by Kev's Disney Plus.
Dude, I have the Infinity Stones of streaming services, and I don't mind sharing, okay? Just times are hard out there, okay? Like, let's share.
I will say, though, I was when you know, I mentioned I was going to watch Far From Home before No Way Home. I sat down, I was like, all right, fire up Disney Plus. Going to watch Far From Home. Where is it?
Yep.
It's not on there, because Sony owns the Spider-Man movies.
At the rental
off
you?
Amazon.
Yep.
Thank you, Amazon Prime. So, but yeah, so this is going to be a lot of fun because it's revisiting things for us that we haven't seen in several years, or for me, a lot of these things seen for the first time. You know, I've seen some of the Netflix shows, not all of them, so that's going to be fun, because those are canon, right? Yep. And we got Matt Murdock and Kingpin are the same ones, so. It's going to be a fun ride. So we're going to have some fun tally boards and things like that, and just having some general discussion. And, you know, Lance and I, we never did the commentaries on the Marvel movies. We're always going to save them for last for something special, right? We didn't know what it was, but now we know.
Now we do.
What we were here to do. I know why I was sent to this planet to do this podcast.
We were sent here for a reason.
Yeah. Well, we have great power, and with great power must also come
great responsibility.
Aunt May.
Yeah.
It's like your uncle used to say, I wish she said that. But I guess they just doubled down on Uncle Ben not existing, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were like, nope, not going to do it. When Tobey Maguire's like, Uncle Ben told me that the day he died, and, you know, Andrew Garfield's like nodding, like, I think mine told me something similar. I don't know.
Yeah, President Bartlett said something similar to what he was talking about.
You have a moral obligation. It's about responsibility. The way Uncle Ben died in that movie, The Amazing Spider-Man, that's weak. He's like, tackles some guy for a gun sitting on the sidewalk. What do you expect to happen? What are you doing? At least Sandman didn't kill him. That's a plus. So,
oh my God.
I like how Toby was like, I hunted down the man I thought had killed my uncle. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, we're going to go with that. Yeah. Very good. That's the worst thing in Spider-Man 3 is that retcon.
Yeah.
You know, as much as all the other nonsense is, that's the worst part about it. But we'll talk about, we're going to come around to talk about these at some point. We'll figure it out. But yeah, there we go. So stay tuned here. This will be, you know, one or two or multiple, you know, the schedule will ebb and flow throughout the podcast, but it's going to be a long journey of,
Going
on to the MCU.
Can't wait.
But yeah, you're on the Patreon here. So you know us, you know where to find us, you know, always on Smallville. I saw on the Arrow. So we'll be back later on this month with Iron Man. But until then, always hold on to the
MCU.
So, you stayed all the way to the end. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed. Always hold on to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Episode 0. This is our free taste to all listeners of what to expect from our podcast moving forward. If you'd like to hear me, Lance, and Kev go through the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, minus Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you can sign up for the Avengers Tower tier on our Patreon. That's $11 a month, and that will give you multiple episodes of this podcast every month. Again, on the Always Hold On to Smallville Patreon, which you can access by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you guys there, and hope you enjoy always hold on to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.